And then what we're seeing here is what they were, what they decided to do with all that. So I have a word of prayer, and then I will read chapter 17, and we'll begin to make some comments about what we find there. Our Heavenly Father, we pause now to pray, to give thanks to you, dear Lord, for giving to us the privilege that we have today, this morning, to sit together, to be together, to hear and consider the word of the Lord. We just ask for the Spirit of God to be our teacher so that we may learn and live in a better way, in more conformity to what we should, as a consequence of having spent time considering these portions of the scriptures. We ask in the name of Christ the Savior, and with thanksgiving, amen. So now we have come to chapter 17. And first I said I will read chapter 17. I read all these verses here. Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and on which you put a curse, even saying in my ears, 'Here is the silver with me,' I took it." And his mother said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my son." So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son, to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you." Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image. And they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols. And he consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" So he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance." So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with a man, and the young man became like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest." So that's the chapter we have before us. Reading through that again, do you see any problems there? Wow. Well, I take it from that response that you observed quite a few problems there. And indeed, there are a lot of problems there. So what are some of the problems that we see here? I want to go through and kind of list out some of the things that I identified as problems that we see in what's going on here. And then I'll make other comments in relation to how I'm looking at this. But the first is, well, it talks about Micah and him coming from a man from the mountains of Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And Micah, you know, the name is a good name, who is like the Lord. Now, right away, you see here that there was a curse that was issued. So a curse was issued by the mother. So I'm just now kind of identifying what some of the things that I consider to be problems, and then I make some other references here. But she issued a curse. The curse had to do with the theft of silver, her 1,100 shekels of silver. And it's interesting also that it says that she said the curse in the ear. It didn't say exactly that, but in the ear of Micah, she made this curse. Well, the implication is that the curse was believed to carry consequences. Otherwise, why would they make a curse? But then, after having made this curse, the culprit confessed. And so what is the next thing we see? The thief, she says, may the Lord bless you. So she's asking for a blessing on the thief, who is her son. So I see that as a problem as well, as to what the dynamic is there. She claimed that that silver was for a specific purpose. In fact, she said she had dedicated that to the Lord. The text here uses the proper name for God, which would be an indication that what she really is saying is that this is dedicated not to one of the idols of false gods, but it's really dedicated to the Lord, the real God. That seems to be the claim that she's making there. So that's a problem. Now, so what does she do after he returns the silver? She decides to take 200 shekels of the silver and to have those used for a special purpose. What special purpose? It says here that they might make certain idols out of that 200. It says in verse 4, he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith. And he made it into a carved image and a molded image. So, I'm sure that's one of the places where you said there's a problem here. Because she said the money was dedicated to the Lord, and now it talks about these molded images. And you can think about what Israel was supposed to do with regard to that. But anyway, that's what happened there. In the next verse, verse 5, it says here we see a shrine. Now, what's a shrine? What's the idea here that this man had a shrine, Micah? Yes, ma'am. His own private worship place? Okay. So where were they supposed to worship? So is this a substitute or a replacement or is alternative or? So is this a, well, let me put it this way. Is this an acceptable substitute or? Okay. So you see this as a substitute for what they were really should have been doing. Okay. Okay, so the shrine is a problem. Connected with a shrine is the ephod and idols, and the ephod and idol might be taken together, and also a priest. So he has not only a shrine, but he has these other items involved with that shrine. That also is a problem. And I'm going to go on through and then focus more on the first part of those verses. Now we get in verse 7, that critical verse. I'm sorry, in verse 6. And I'm going to pass over that for the moment and then come back there. In verse 7, we see this Levite, a young man from Bethlehem of the family of Judah. He was a Levite. And he was staying there. And then he departed. He went to Ephraim, the mountains of Ephraim. And so then this Micah, seeing that a Levite had come, what does he do? Well, he texts the Levite and says to him, be my priest. Or the interesting words that are used here. In verse 10, it says, dwell with me, be a father and a priest to me. So, father, I think, is used here just to indicate a position of honor because he was going to be the priest. And then he became like one of the sons. But it also says something about that young man and that he was content to live with him. He was a Levite. What was a Levite doing out looking for a place to live? Is that what he should have been doing? How are the Levites supposed to be cared for? Care for the temple. They had their special places where they were supposed to be. So this also is a problem. And but it says in 12, Micah consecrated the Levite. We could also identify that as a problem. And the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. And then in verse 13, what do you make of verse 13? He says, now I know. It's evident that he wants the blessing of the Lord. That's not in dispute. He thinks he's in a good place now. And why is that? Well, he says, I know that the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as a priest. That too is a problem. Some use the word superstition in reference to what the Micah has said in this particular point. But now let me go back to verse number 6. In verse number 6, we see the expression, or an expression that is used in other places as well, as a characterization of what the situation was like in the time of the judges. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did right, what was right, in his own eyes. Or some translators to say, everyone just did whatever they wanted to do. They just made their own choices and did it. Now, so what does it mean? What does the text mean when it says that sort of thing? Or says this, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. What is the meaning of that? Yes, ma'am. So you said they're making up their own religion.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
that's good.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's connected. The ephod had basically a couple of different uses, my understanding is. And one of it was a priestly garment, a garment that was worn by the priest. But we also have scripture which tells us that there was a making of an ephod out of precious metals or whatever, which is used more as an idol. So they had kind of a dual use depending on where it was that you encountered it. And so it became an idol, an idol, I guess you could say, like the other idols that had been made, which brings an interesting note. Let's see if I see exactly the word that I said here. Even here, let's see, which verse is it where he mentions that? Okay. Well, it says an ephod and household idols. So it seems like they're taken together there. But now the whole idea then, so they have these idols, they have the ephod. Even if his intent was that this ephod was necessary in order to have that son of his to operate as a priest, he's still out of line. I mean, he's out of order to do that. He was out of order to do that. But this whole idea of the idols, now, that I wanted to make a mention about the curse, because evidently, and as I mentioned, that the purpose for the sale of curse would be that it would have some teeth to it. The indication, it's easy to indicate or suggest possibly that she suspected her son, because this verse tells us specifically that she said it, the curse in his hearing. He took the curse seriously. And so he thought, well, really, he better come forward and make that confession. And so he does. So for her then, her response is to, you know, once the curse has been issued, now what? Can it be revoked? Her intent, we would understand to be that the effect of the curse will fall upon the culprit. But then she learned that the culprit was her son. So what she's trying to do is reverse or revoke the effect of the curse. And so she says, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. Blessed. It seems to me that goes beyond our normal discourse of ideas, as where we say the theft was clearly, it was a wrong thing to do, right? So he made a confession. And normally the idea of confession is to get forgiveness. And so she said, not only do I forgive you, I'm invoking the Lord's blessings upon you. So she really wanted to overcome that curse. But then this idea of idols. So where did they get the idea that they could have idols and idol worship? What we keep understanding is, and referring to, is that these folks were supposed to understand what God required of them. And there were a lot of specific things said with respect to idols. And I just want to refer back on a couple of verses here. If we look back at Exodus chapter 4. Now, in Exodus chapter 4, in verse, I think I'll just read these two verses with regard to that. Let's see. Looks like I have it marked down the verses that I wanted in that chapter there. Let's go to Deuteronomy. And then maybe, I don't see what I did with my notes there, that was wrong there. But we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And that will get for us what we're looking at and what we need. And yeah, that would be right. That's probably what I was trying to get. 20 verse 4. And I think I want to also 20 and verse 23. Okay. So now that you've identified that, that's wonderful. Now let me see if, let's just go ahead with that and read that first. Chapter 20 and verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That's what was stated. In verse 23, you shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. So this is a direct contradiction of what Micah's mother was doing here, and Micah. This is a direct contradiction of what they were doing. So what they were supposed to do was clear. The scriptures, it may be argued that there are certain portions that are hard to understand and difficult to know exactly what the meaning is, but that's not one of them. And also in Deuteronomy, explicit warnings about the idols. Let me read some here. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Mount Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this land, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, lest they depart from all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all their days, all the days they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. Then they came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you may observe them in the land which you go over to possess. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of fire. Lest you act corruptly. Take note of that word. Lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male and female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord has, your God has given to all peoples under the whole heaven as an heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and he swore that I would not cross over to Jordan, and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. So that's a long portion. But the thing that's very clear in looking at that is that you say, well, what excuse is there for what they were doing? How is it that they could be in that kind of a condition? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? I still can hear. Okay. So she said the parents had not passed on what was supposed to happen and that. So it's there's no question then that what we are seeing here is far, far removed from what the people were supposed to be doing. So if the instructions have been given and they are clear, but the people don't follow them, so then what happens? Well, they begin to do other things. Idol worship. Where would they get the idea of idol worship? The people around them. So they don't maintain what they're supposed to be doing. They start doing what the people are doing who are around them in their environment and all that. So that just points out the importance of understanding what it is that is supposed to be done and then following on and doing that. So there, as we said, there are lots of problems in this section. And some of these things I'm going to come back a bit. Were you going to make a comment? No, okay. But when we look at what, I'm sorry. Alrighty, thank you there. Now, I want to make a couple of comments here. When we look at this Micah and the shrine. Would you say that, maybe I shouldn't put it that way, I'm going to put it this way. There is a way in which this can be looked at, and one could say, Micah was a pious man. How can I say that? Pious or zealous? Because it says here, he had the shrine, he had it in his house, so he wanted to worship, it indicates. He went about setting up a place of worship. He went about having these idols. Now, it's all corruption in the way of what he's doing, the way he's doing it. But it might be proper to say he was a very religious man. Would that be a fair way to say it? That he was a very religious man. So he wasn't one of those who just threw everything off to the side and said, it doesn't matter. The problem is that his intentions was misfocused. If he had had all that zeal of piety towards the true way of God's worship, he would have been an awesome man in his place. So he did all that. He set up that, you know, worship place, his own private worship place and all that, and had all those idols, obviously contradictory to what was going on, but what he had been instructed and what Israel had been instructed to do. But another thing I think which will add to the idea which I just suggested is that he knew something about Levites being priests. So he wasn't totally ignorant of what the scriptures require. Because when that Levite came along, young man, he said, be my priest, because he's a Levite. So that suggests that he's a religious man, and he has some interest in doing and getting some things going here. But what he didn't follow up on is, so who was this particular Levite? It seems like this Levite was one of Moses' descendants. So the question is, he had a Levite, yes, but was he a Levite who was qualified to be a priest? It makes a difference. It seems to me, and from what I understand here, that this man was not a descendant of Aaron who was qualified. So the Levite that he had really wasn't qualified to be a priest. But because he had him, and he was a Levite, he said, well, the Lord's going to bless me. So that's incomplete information. Yes, brother. That's a good point.
So whether I want to use a gap or use this type of music or use this kind of format or do this or do that, doesn't matter. He doesn't care. It's whatever I think is acceptable. So some very specific things on that. Even out in the Howell area, one of the mega churches, is promoting their holy yoga classes. Well, there's something about that. Thank you.
That's good.
Not in general.
Right.
He expects specific things for people to come to him and worship. And we can't be like this pastor and just say, oh, he doesn't care.
Right.
He'll come to it in that kind of approach, but he does. He's very particular in that way, not general.
That's very good. That's excellent. I was going to make mention of the Lord's table, like what you said there, because that's something that's really real to us. But it's one of those things where if you're just looking at it, you can say, oh, they're just going through a ritual. They're just doing, you know, they're just taking this cup, taking this bread. They're just going through a form. It is a ritual, or done in a ritualistic way. But that doesn't mean, like my brother used the word, that God is not concerned about what the hearts of the people are doing in that service. And so that's why it says there in 1 Corinthians 11 about people, because they didn't come to the table in the right way, that some are weak and sickly, and some are even dying, because God was concerned about it. He cared. And so it was important then to get it, to do things in the right way. And at the time of the judges here, they were so far removed from what they were supposed to be doing. But it wasn't that they didn't have opportunity to know. The information was available to them, just as for us, the information is available to us for what we're supposed to be doing. Yes, brother. Yes. Counterfeit worship. That's a good point. A mixture of truth and counterfeit, a counterfeit religion. But it has elements of the right thing, but it's false. Yes, brother. Okay, we have two more comments, Brother Bill and Brother Ben, and then we'll close. Good. Brother Ben, and then that will be the last one. Okay, we appreciate that. Let's have a closing prayer here, and we'll come back and look at more of this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time and for all the consideration and the comments and help that we have received from our brothers and sisters here. We ask in the name of Christ the Savior with thanks. Amen.